most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six ways the Magic Kingdom is different, day versus night. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 88 of the World of Walt podcast, Make the Most of Your Walt Disney World Vacation, for the week of September 4th, 2016. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today, the podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you're planning a trip to any Disney destination, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member, so he really knows how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your next vacation at no extra cost to you, while making sure you get the best deal on your trip. You can reach Phil at eartotheirtravel.com. All of the Disney parks take on a different feel when the sun goes down, but that's especially true in the Magic Kingdom. There are many ways that the magic shines more brightly at night, if you know what I mean. So today, we're going to take a look at the top six ways the Magic Kingdom is different, day versus night. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome a former Disney cast member and a guy who helps people plan their Disney vacations all day and night long, Phil Gramlich. Phil, welcome back.
Hey, Eric, thanks for having me back on. I really appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to our conversation. I think we'll be able to bring some different ideas to this topic today.
Yeah, I agree. It's a kind of a cool topic, too, because I think about it a lot. Because since I have little kids, I spend a lot of the days in a park, and especially Magic Kingdom, but not a whole lot of nights there these days. So when I really got down to thinking about it, I was like, oh, man, some of these are really, really cool things to do at night. So I'm excited.
Good. So before the main topic, the warm-up question today is, what is your favorite quick service restaurant in Disney's Animal Kingdom?
So yeah, there's no hesitation for me on this one. I have to say Flame Tree Barbecue, without a doubt, is my favorite by far.
And how come?
Of course, you go over and get the ribs. They have the rack of ribs with the chicken. It's like the greatest thing. And it's so different than, what's funny is, I'm gonna shameless plug here. I just recently did an episode of my podcast about barbecue, and the Ear to Their podcast, you can look it up if you want to, great. But the barbecue ribs there are phenomenal, and I can't even bite. This is a long story. I want to tell you really quickly. Had a horrible accident at my bachelor party where I knocked my front teeth out, and they had to put a bridge in, so I can't even bite the ribs. But I use a fork, and they're so tender that you can pull the ribs off the bone with a fork at that place. I just think their ribs, their barbecue is the best in Disney property. So that's why it's my favorite.
So first off, someday you're going to have to tell us exactly how you washed your teeth at your bachelor party. I'm sure there's kind of a story there.
I think I'm worried that my father-in-law might listen to this podcast, so I can't tell the whole story.
Okay, understand. And the second thing is that I agree with you. I know that the Yak and Yeti quick service is actually very good too. They've got some interesting Asian-inspired food there. But I would vote with you. I think that Flame Tree Barbecue is one of the best quick service restaurants in all of the Walt Disney World Resort. The ribs there are amazing. The views that you have in some of the lower seating areas across the lake to Expedition Everest are amazing. The only thing that it's missing is air conditioning in the heat of the summer.
That's exactly what I was going to say. My next question to you was going to be, what is the one thing that would make that restaurant better? Yep. Only one thing is it needs a wall and air conditioning. That's what it needs. Because you can't go in the summer. You just can't.
Yeah, it gets really hot. Yep.
Yeah, it's and again, we've talked about this before in the podcast, that park is at least 10 to 12 degrees hotter in the summer. It just is. And you have to be in the air conditioning. So that's my favorite, like, January, February place to go.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes I will brave it when it's still hot out, but I make sure that there's some seating that's undercover because if it's not, most of it is, but if it's not, then it's just all over.
Hey, at least the ribs stay hot.
That's true. That's true. They continue to cook even while you have them on your plate.
that's true.
Okay, on to the main topic. Top six ways the Magic Kingdom is different, day versus night. And Phil, over to you, number one.
All right, so this is actually, I always say that Main Street USA in Disneyland is honestly my favorite place on the planet. And it's really no different with Magic Kingdom's Main Street. I love Magic Kingdom during the day, I do. I mean, I'm sorry, Main Street during the day, I really do. But Main Street USA at night, it just completely changes the feel of it. I mean, with the lights, the all the buildings are completely lit up. I love the light up balloons that the cast members carry around and have they blink off and on, and there's the Mickey head inside the clear balloon. I love the music. It's different. It's completely, you know, I don't know why. It's one of those experiences that when I'm leaving Magic Kingdom, I look over my shoulder probably 20 times when I'm walking down Main Street to just get that last look of the buildings and, you know, Town Square and Cinderella Castle back in the distance behind me. And look at all the windows. They're all lit up with all the Disney legends and Imagineers names. And it's just, I don't know. And I'd say, I'm like, I know that this always, when I talk about like my favorite things in Disney, I could fill books with it. But I just love the feeling of walking down Main Street, even though I'm leaving, walking down that final walk at night and looking at everything and taking it all in. I think, like I said, it's great during the day, but at night it's completely plussed up. It's way better.
Mm. I agree with you. This is a great one for number one. I think that the outlines of the lights on the building really just make it feel extra special. And I think there's just a special vibe or an energy going on because there's so many people and bustling and shopping and eating. And it's just a fun place. You feel like you're in the middle of everything that's going on.
Yeah, you really do. And I love, there's something, let me see. Oh, yeah, I wanted to mention too, Tony's Town Square at night. If you are lucky enough to eat on the patio when, you know, the parade is going by, I'm sure we'll talk about that later. It's just, that experience is just awesome by itself at night. Just to see the lights and you're sitting there and you're having your huge meatball on Main Street. It's, yeah, it's awesome. So yeah, that's, I really love that at night. It's my favorite, you know, my favorite place to be at night in Walt Disney World.
Excellent. Main Street, USA. Now good number one. Okay, number two, I'm going to say something that's going to sound like it's going to contradict this a little bit, but I think it kind of goes hand in hand. And it is that in some ways, the crowds can thin out at nighttime. Now, if you are standing on Main Street or in the Castle Hub 5 minutes before the fireworks are ready to go off, it's not going to feel like the crowds have thinned out at all. You're going to feel like you are in the middle of a huge herd. But at that time or after, when people are either concentrated in the center of the park or they're headed on the way out, many other spots around the Magic Kingdom will clear out, at least to an extent, especially in Tomorrowland and Frontierland. Sometimes in Fantasyland. So I would say that if this is your only trip to the Magic Kingdom or you don't get to go very often, absolutely be where the hustle and bustle is and stand in the Castle Hub and watch the fireworks. But if you get a chance to go quite a bit and you feel like, yeah, I think on this trip I can go ahead and skip the fireworks, head to Tomorrowland or head to Frontierland, and you will notice that the crowds are much thinner, especially when those nighttime spectaculars are going on, and you can take advantage of the fact that all the crowds have gone to watch that, and you can get on some attractions with some pretty low wait times.
Yeah, you're right, and that's one time when you can get on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train that's not, you know, a 90-minute wait.
Yeah.
I mean, often you'll see it at 40, 45 minutes at that time, and that still sounds like a lot, but realistically, when you're talking about what that attraction usually is, it's not. That's not a long wait. And I like people watching at that time. You just, because again, you and I, you're there more than I am, but I'm there an awful lot. So we'll go and with our kids and we'll walk from, you know, we'll walk up Main Street when it's that crowded. You make that left into Adventureland and then you do the whole circle around the lands behind, you know, walk behind Cinderella Castle and end up in Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
And whatever has a short wait, you can jump on or you can, you know, you get a snack and something to eat back there. And it is, it's a lot thinner. You're right. The crowds from Town Square to Cinderella Castle are going to be nuts.
Yeah.
But the other areas of the park, you really get to experience it differently.
Yeah. And I like your idea of kind of taking the tour around the edge so you can check out the things and just jump on if there's a low wait. And if not, you can keep on making your way around the outside of the park and head to the next item.
Yeah. We can jump on on one of the, you know, the train back there too.
Yep.
If you're tired, you don't want to walk, go over to Frontierland, jump on the train and take your ride out. You don't have to fight that crowd.
Yep. Very good. Okay. Number two, the crowds thin out in a way. Number three, yeah. Phil, back to you.
All right. So again, this is kind of similar to my first one, Main Street at night, because I love Frontierland at night. I just think it's a totally different experience than it is during the day, much like Main Street USA. Especially the attractions, right? So Thunder Mountain's one of my favorite. I think I always list that. It's that and Space Mountain are my two favorite roller coasters in the park. And they're in all the parks. And Thunder Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at night with like, it has like this purplish kind of lighting effect to it. It's just so different to ride that at night than it is during the day. I love riding it at night. Also, well, really just walking around Frontierland. We were just talking about it. At night is so cool because it is a thinner crowd. The music, you can hear a lot better. So it's like really sets the tone with like that old Western music soundtrack they have. And then after riding Big Thunder Mountain, I love the ride Splash Mountain at night. Again, completely different because there's so many outside parts of that attraction. So when you're outside on it at night, you can see, you get views that you'll never get during the day. When you go up the big hill, before the big drop at the end of the attraction, get your camera out if you're brave enough because you don't want to lose it. Get your camera or your cell phone, of course, and try to get a picture of Cinderella Castle from up there. It's one of the best views you're going to get of it anywhere. And, you know, I've taken videos with my iPhone going down that hill, and you're worried about it a little bit that you're going to lose it, but because it's maybe a dumb idea on my part. But you'll never get that view. It's Frontierland at night. Completely different than during the day. It's just a lot of fun. And again, it's just the ambiance, you know, the music, the setting, the old fashioned kind of nostalgic feel of it. I love it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the attractions really do take on a different feel. And in addition to all the things you said, which I agree, when you go inside the caves in Big Thunder Mountain, I think you can see a lot of the details much more clearly because your eyes are adjusted to the dark already. And so you can check out things that you might not otherwise see. Just in addition to being able to look out on the park and see a great view of everything lit up.
Yeah, you're completely right. And I hope with the... Now, correct me if I'm wrong. There's still the Big Thunder Mountain's going down soon for refurbishment, right?
I think it may be, yeah.
And I'm hoping when it is down, I'm hoping that they add, I don't know if you had the chance to ride it out in Disneyland since it's been, since they brought it, you know, they shut it down for a while and they added all neat, these really cool indoor effects inside the caves.
Mm.
And there's this awesome, awesome effect where you're riding in the cave on one of the lift hills, just like at Magic Kingdom. And instead of it being just, you know, you're riding through the scene, now in Disneyland, on to your left, there's a fuse that lights. And it starts going up. It's like a video screen projection. I don't know how they do it. But it starts going up the wall as your coaster car is going up the wall. And then you notice at the top of the hill are these barrels of TNT. And it hits the TNT right before you get to the top of the hill. And there's this awesome explosion as you come out of that cave. It's so cool. It changes the whole experience. I hope they add that to Thunder Mountain in Magic Kingdom because yeah, it'll be an attraction that people are like fall in love with all over again. It's really, really cool.
Wow. I have not seen that. I hope that does make its way east. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. You got to get out to Disneyland. Come on. We got to take a trip. I'll book it. We'll, you know, go out to a couple podcasts. Why not?
That's a deal. That sounds like a business expense to me.
It is. That is definitely. Write that off.
All right. Good deal. Frontierland, number three. Number four, back over to me. And similar but different. I am going to go to the opposite side of the park in Tomorrowland. It's one of my favorite spots at night because just like Frontierland looks very different day versus night, Tomorrowland looks really different day versus night. All the neon lights come out and you see these intense red and blue colors. And I just think walking around a little bit and enjoying the lights is a fun thing to do in Tomorrowland. I talked just a minute ago about how I think your eyes adjust and attractions can be different day versus night. I think that's really the case for Space Mountain. And a lot of people look at me and say, wait a second, it's an indoor roller coaster. It's the same day or night, right? And actually, I think it's not, because if you've come out of the hot, bright Florida sun and you go into to Space Mountain, you will see some things. But if you ride that attraction at night when your eyes are already adjusted to the dark, you will see details that you've never noticed before. So that giant Oreo cookie floating on the ceiling, you'll be able to check out with a new set of eyes. So I think Tomorrowland, the lights, the ability to check in the details in the areas that are darkened, it's a great place to spend some time in the evening.
Yeah, you know what, Herb? You're right. And I like, that's the coolest thing is walking into Tomorrowland at night with the lights. They've done such a great job lighting it that it, and I, listen, I'm sorry to say this, but it's kind of boring and a mishmash during the day, right? Like Tomorrowland, it's half like the future, half Monsters, Inc. And I guess they're changing some of that with like some of the paint schemes they're putting up now.
Yeah.
But it's not a fully immersive developed land, I don't feel like, during the day. But at night, with the lights, when you walk over the, I guess, the bridge or the causeway, whatever you call it, to get into the land, and you see, you know, Stitch to your left. I mean, you know, Stitch to your left, and Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, and then the Asher Orbiter in front of you, and Space Mountain off in the distance. The way they light it, it is awesome. It really, really makes it different. It's completely different. And, yeah, Space Mountain, you're right. And you also see a little bit more of the track and the drops if your eyes are adjusted, mm-hmm. which if you're sitting in the front can kind of freak you out because you actually see where you're going and it scares you a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how Disney is changing up the color scheme, just like you said. So the Carousel Progress has been repainted. The outside has been repainted into very vibrant, bright colors. I know a lot of rock work is getting new paint treatment. So it's interesting. Tomorrow is always something hard to deal with because, well, it's just a day away, but it
well
always, but people have all these different ideas about what it should look like. And it just varies over time. But I think some of the changes that they're making are pretty interesting these days.
Yeah. I like the Tokyo, not Tokyo, the Paris version of Tomorrowland, where it's like the Jules Verne kind of, you know, future. You know, it's not really a Tomorrowland. It's more of a throwback to, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you would call it steampunk architecture, but it's kind of like that. And it's something that's timeless. And I wish they would do something like that. I think they were hoping that, I've had this on, I think I might have mentioned this on your show before, they were hoping that the Tomorrowland movie was more popular so that then maybe they could have themed it around that. But since it kind of tanked,
it was kind of
tough to do that, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I'm sure all the accountants were drowning in their ink wells, just not happy that the movie didn't do so well.
Yeah.
And then the folks in the theme parks were drowning in their whatever for the same reason. So, yeah.
Yep. And then they're melted Dole Whips.
Yeah, exactly. All right, number four, Tomorrowland. Five, Phil, back to you.
All right, so one of the best additions that New Fantasyland has when it opened is Be Our Guest. I think when you go for breakfast, when you go for lunch, it's, you know, it's a very, very neat restaurant to eat in. Really, really well themed. It really, you kind of get that feeling that you're in the Beast Castle, even when you're walking up over the bridge or from the distance when you see the castle. It's just such a well-done experience. It's a really, really well-put-together restaurant. But at night for dinner, I think it's just far and away way better. And that's saying something because I really enjoyed lunch and breakfast there. You know, the menu is amped up. They have much, you know, higher end. And I know they've lessened it a little bit because it was pretty expensive and pretty fancy when it first opened. But, you know, you can get this. Here's what I do. I'll tell you what I do. This is my thing to do when I eat at Be Our Guest. Start off with the meat and cheese plate, which is phenomenal. And I'm not even that kind of guy, like the wine and cheese guy. I don't really do that. But whatever they put on that plate, I don't even know what it was. Excellent, the meats and cheeses. Then I go to steak for dinner. I've said this on my blog. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show. You would never expect to get a steak that good at a theme park, especially in a castle, in a Beast Castle. You would never think it would be that good, but it really is. And also at night, it's not quick service. It's a table service restaurant, so you have a server. They really make you kind of feel special in there. You can sit in one of the several different rooms they have. It's just a really neat experience. We sat in the West Wing when I was there for dinner once, which is really cool. It has the rose, the Enchanted Rose. It's under the glass. There's also like a ballroom that has snow falling outside the window no matter what time of year it is. Well, not like with snow in Florida anyway, but it's there. And it's just a really, really neat experience. And for people like me who spend an entire day in the parks with their little kids, if you want a nice drink, a glass of wine or a beer at the end of the night, they actually have it. It's in the Magic Kingdom, believe it or not. And you can get a nice French wine or you can get some fancy, you know, beers. I always get the Chimay Blue kind of to, you know, finish my night off. I have it with my steak, and it's awesome. Beer guts go. It's such a cool experience tonight, I think. You can't miss it.
Wow, I have to say, I like how you roll, Phil.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
Meat, cheese, steak. Wow, goodness.
Usually this is after a Run Disney event, so I live it up.
And you deserve to live it up after burning off like 18 million calories in all of those races. So that's good. Yeah, I've had a chance to go for breakfast and for lunch, and I enjoy the theming. I think it's great. I think the West Wing that you mentioned is amazing. The rows and the paintings, and I don't know, it's just a great spot. I have not yet been there for dinner, but now I want to go there even more. The issue is I probably have to get my ADR, my reservation in, you know, 2 years in advance to be able to sneak in.
Yep, 180 days.
Yeah. All right. Good one. Be our guest. Number six, last one on our list. Because I am a very Captain Obvious kind of person, I have to talk about the nighttime spectaculars in the Magic Kingdom, which I think are some of the best. So Wishes Fireworks, I think is one of the best types of fireworks storytelling that I have seen at Walt Disney World. And, you know, you just may have to hold a tear back at the end. Celebrate the Magic, I think, has added a nice little way to pass the time while you're waiting for Wishes. And it's a lot of fun. They kind of vary it around every once in a while. And We Will Miss You Main Street Electrical Parade, which is going to be closing not too far into the future. I'm hopeful that maybe something even bigger, better, or different will take its place as a nighttime parade. But all of these different types of entertainment only available at night, and they're truly unique, they are truly Disney, and they are definitely worth checking out, even if you have to battle the huddled masses to do it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Because there's one exception that I have. Well, you know what? Let's be honest. I have two problems with this. One, Main Street Electrical Parade going away is fine with me as long as we're talking about bringing something else in. Mm. Because the end of my night, the end of most guests' night, won't be complete without some kind of nighttime parade. I was kind of bummed to see the Pink tonight. It looks like it won't be coming to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
I really was hoping that would be the one that took over. Because it kind of was like released, you know, the statements were released back to back. It was like, Main Street Electrical Parade is no longer going to be at Magic Kingdom. And for a minute, I was like, yes! And then I looked, you know, and I read the next statement. It was like, oh, the rumor is they're moving Paint the Night over to California Adventure for, you know, select nights. And they're going to have a lot of nighttime entertainment on the West Coast, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But my other issue is, and Herb, I'm sorry to do this to you, I'd love Wishes. It's kind of overstated its welcome, don't you think? We need a new fireworks show. It's been the same thing and I love it and I'll go see it. And for people who have never seen it before, it blows you away when you go see it. But it's about time, I think. I think we need something new. And especially after seeing the Disneyland Forever fireworks last year, which completely blew my mind. I think they can do something like that where they have projections on the buildings and on the castle and a little bigger new soundtrack to the fireworks show, new effects. And it's about time.
So I can't do the comparison to the Disneyland events, so you can't miss what you don't know.
Sure.
So I think it's one of those deals where that's kind of what I know, so that's what I like. But if the option is to bring in something new and bigger and better, I'm voting for it, definitely. I think it would be great to see a new show there. And Wishes has been around for a good long time. I don't know how long it has been there, but it's been a while.
I got to think it's... Was it 2000? Maybe 2012. I know it's been there a long time.
Yeah.
Or 2002. I'm sorry, not 12. It's been there a really long time, and I should have looked it up before going on my rant. But I just think it's something that Disney does update things. Maybe I hope it's not for the 50th. Like, I'm assuming it won't change until Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary. But hopefully we'll get a new nighttime parade in there. I just can't imagine ending a night at Magic Kingdom without that parade.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we still have 5 years till the 50th anniversary. So, I mean, hopefully the great minds there are coming up with some pretty good things. We'll see.
Yeah, get it together, Imagineers. Let's go.
We're waiting.
Yeah, right. Us crazy Disney fans, we need this announcement made yesterday.
That's right. What else will we talk about on our podcast if you don't start, you know, give us a bone every once in a while?
Right. We need new topics to think about here.
All right. So before I do the recap, any honorable mentions you'd like to toss in?
Let's see. Yeah, I mentioned my, hold on, let me look at my list here. I mentioned my YouTube. I had Tomorrowland on my list, so that's off. Tony's Town Square, I already kind of made that one. Let's see. Yeah, okay. So my one honorable mention that we didn't kind of talk about was Haunted Mansion at Night. I think it's not better because listen, the attraction itself inside is the same, but the overall experience, the walking into Liberty Square, which may change soon with the Muppets, it's going to change the setting a little bit when you're kind of creeped out by Haunted Mansion in the distance, and then Fozzie pops out, tells a joke. It might not be as creepy, you know. But for right now, just walking through Liberty Square to the Haunted Mansion in the dark, with the wolf howling in the distance, and the ride is kind of, the attraction is kind of more like foreboding at night, and the lighting effects and everything seems a little creepier at night than it does during the day. So I think that was my other one. That was my other honorable mention that, you know, it's great to ride it during the day if it's the only time you can do it, but try to go back if you can at night because the lighting is really cool, especially around Halloween. They change the lighting up a little bit. Mm. So it's, you know, for Halloween, it's even creepier. So it's a really cool thing to do at night.
Yep. Great addition. Okay. Top six ways the Magic Kingdom is different day versus night. Number one, Main Street USA. Two, the crowds thin out. Three, Frontierland. Four, Tomorrowland. Five, Be Our Guest. And six, the Nighttime Spectaculars, Main Street Electrical Parade. We will miss you. All right, Phil. So I know that you do help people day and night plan their vacations as the president and chief executive officer of Ear to Their Travel. So if folks are interested in getting some help in planning their Disney vacation, how can they get in touch with you?
So it's pretty easy. Just go over to eartothertravel.com. I have, you know, free, you can request a free quote over there. I have a contact form you can use, my email, my cell phone, my personal cell phone is listed on my page. My work phone, everything is there. I have a blog over there, a podcast over there as well. So yeah, just go to eartothertravel.com for everything.
And I know that you do a great job of helping. People have a lot of questions. Sometimes issues come up, and because you do this all day, every day, you can help people navigate through that. And how much does it cost, Phil?
Herb, I'm going to break something to you. It's absolutely free. I don't charge a fee at all.
Absolutely free?
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
I know, it blows people away.
That's the deal of the decade right there.
And you know what? The good thing is if you do book with me, I know Disney may cost a lot of money. So if you book with me, you force Disney to pay me money. So that's good. You get to kind of help me out, you know, and I this is going to sound crazy, but I'm not the kind of, I think I mentioned this before. I'm not the kind of person that's going to talk you into something that you don't want. I want you to have the best possible vacation you could have, but I want you to have it at the best price. I'm not going to talk you into staying concierge level at Polynesian because I think it's a better experience. I want you to have a great time, but let's make sure you do it on your own, your price, what you're comfortable at. So that's what's really important to me.
All right. I like your angle. You can stick it to the man, or I guess in this case, stick it to the mouse. So
the mouse, that's right.
All right, Phil, as always, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for joining me.
All right, Herb, thank you.
Today we head out to the music of the Main Street Electrical Parade, and yes, we have made it through the list of the top six ways the Magic Kingdom is different day versus night. But our conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think. Do you have something you'd like to add to our list? You can do that. Just visit the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/88, a page that works nicely on tablets, desktops, and smartphones. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people are saying as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's followed me on social media and invite you to follow me too. You can see me on facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you like today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. To wrap up for today, I would like to, as always, give you a heartfelt thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can find great Disney articles and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you, and that is extremely cool. Thank you for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.